This morning, that he's real. Let's stand this morning. This is 229 in your hymnbook, My God is Real.
Well, there are some things, well, I may not know. There are some places I some folk may die, some folk may scorn, all can go on and just leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, and God is real, for I can feel him in my heart. God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Well, I cannot tell just how you when Jesus took your sin away, but since that day, yes, since that hour, my God is real, for I can feel his holy power. Oh, my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Well, there are some things I may, there are some places I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing. My God is real, for I can feel him deep within. Oh, my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed, he's made me whole. His love for me, just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when my Jesus took all your sins away. Oh, but since that day, yes, since that very hour, oh, my God's been real. Oh, and I feel His Holy Ghost power. Oh, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. For I can feel Him in my soul. Amen. Is that how you feel this morning? Amen. God bless you richly. Good to be in service again to worship the Lord in spirit and truth together. And just want to say a very happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. And certainly appreciate the efforts that you put forth into raising your children and taking care of your families. And amen. May God richly bless you for it. And want to announce, Lord willing, Thursday, May 25th, we'll be having another youth Bible study. That's for the youth ages 10 and up. And that'll be from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. that evening. If you want to drop off your children at the basement doors down there, we'll be having it down there. And Brother David Andy's Brother John Andy's, he's actually going to be preaching at Brother Joseph Hammond's that weekend of Memorial Day weekend. And so he's flying into Louisville and was going to come by and just visit us and attend the service on Wednesday night. And I said, well, if you can stick around, why don't you speak the youth service, the youth Bible study that Thursday night? So I think he's going to lead that for us. So appreciate him taking his time to do that for us. And Brother Stephen's class, he wanted me to announce, he's getting ready to start, or I think he may have started it today, on a church age book study for the young people in his Sunday school class. And if you got any, I think he's going to be sending home like a paper a week or something for them to do some review and to bring something back. So if you got any questions on that or kind of want to see what he's going to be doing, if any of you parents, you're welcome to stop by his class after service. He's going to be down there for about 10 or 15 minutes, I think, for any questions that you may have around that. And then Brother Guido, the missionary from Belgium that we helped send to Russia and Ukraine, he made it back home safely to Belgium. So I want to praise the Lord for that and just continue to remember him in prayer for to get his rest and recover from the trip. It was a difficult trip, but it seems like the Lord really blessed it. And Brother Lauren Bowen, his shoulder surgery was postponed due to some additional heart tests that the doctors want to run. So I want to just remember him in prayer that those tests will come back okay. And Sister Angela Layton, she's not feeling well this morning. I want to remember her in prayer. And Josiah Allen, that's Brother Layton's great-grandson, he's got congestion this morning, not feeling well. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you just come this morning, brother, and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've gathered here once again, Lord, under the shelter of your wing, Lord. Lord, we love you and we appreciate all you do for us, Lord. You've gathered us in here today, Lord, to give us the bread of life. Father, we've brought our petitions before you here today and asked you to move upon them, Lord. Lord, we have all faith in you. We trust you, Lord. We know that you're more than able. You're greater than all that we could ever think or, Lord, or anything that we could ever do. But, Father, we know that you're in our midst. And, Father, we ask you to be with each and every one here today. If there be a visitor here, Lord, or anyone, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, may they find you, Lord. Lord, may you shelter over them today, Lord. And Father, we ask you to increase our faith here today, Lord. Be with the brother as he brings the message forth, Lord, whatever he has on his heart, Lord. We just ask you to bless it and, Lord, let it go forth. And we know it won't come back void, for it's your word that we depend on. In Jesus' name.
Good morning, church, and once again, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. I tried to get each one of you, but I'm sure I missed a few. Some things I have to do on Sunday mornings, running around doing different things. I may have missed you, but if I did, forgive me. Just, I don't think there's anything better than a godly mother. I think it's just one of the greatest things that God gave us. If He gave you a good wife, you're blessed. If He gave you a godly wife, you're even more blessed. And if she turns out and she's a godly mother, my, your children are blessed and so are you. So we're blessed in more ways than we can think of this morning. I want to read the start on the 66th chapter of Psalms. That's 6:6. We'll read the first 10 verses this morning. The Lord willing, we'll finish it up next week. And if there's not a next week, we'll rejoice anyway. 66th chapter this morning. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all unto God, all ye lands.
Sing forth the honor of his name, and make his praise glorious.
Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee.
All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee, they shall sing thy name, Selah.
Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men.
He turned the sea into fire. They went through blood on foot. Verily we rejoice in him.
He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah.
Oh, Lord, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard.
Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. God bless you. Please be seated.
God bless you. At this time, we have a special from Sister Leah Leek and Anna Pierce.
Thank you.
Sure appreciate that. Well done. Amen. If the brothers would come at this time. I was buckling my little girl in the car this morning, and she said, "Can I pretend Jesus is sitting beside me?" And I said, "Well, he is." So aren't you glad you don't have to pretend this morning? Amen. This is 139 in your hymn book. He abides.
Well, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this day. Before the hand of God in all my life I see. Oh, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides. Oh, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, until I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Well, then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, oh, he abides, oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, oh, he abides, oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this new way. Oh, the Comforter abides with me. Oh, there's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
Amen. You thankful for that?
Yeah. Oh, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely this sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. Oh, for I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, oh,
let's stand and sing it this morning.
Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, yes, I need every eye. Oh, through this pilgrim land, protect me by song someday. Oh, I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. Oh, as I onward go and I daily meet the foe, oh, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Lord, I need every eye. Oh, through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy saving power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope I'll meet you there. Oh, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, oh, lead me safely to that land of rest where the crown of life have won. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may that golden strand. Oh, there's no other friend on whom I can depend. Oh, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, every eye. This pilgrim land, protect my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. Oh, when I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there. Oh, blessed Jesus, hold my
somebody's hand this morning. just hold my hand. Oh, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend, he walks with me. He leads me safely through that sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day that I may the best I can. Oh, for I need thy light, Lord, to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, just worship him this morning. Jesus, hold my hand. Aren't you glad that he's holding to it this morning? The every hour. Oh, through this pilgrim land. Sing it this way. Oh, when I wander through that valley dim toward the setting of the sun. Oh, just lead me safely to that land of rest if I a crown of life have won. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. Oh, there's no other friend, Lord, on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, Lord, I need every hour. Oh, I'm through this pilgrim land. Protect me by thy saving hand. Be the name of the Lord. Amen. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, my, aren't you glad he's holding to your hand? Amen. There's not a friend, there's not a relative, there's not a preacher, there's not anybody that we can fully just put our dependence of eternal life on, but I'm glad we have a friend that we can depend on. No other friend on whom I can depend, but he's holding to my hand. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter who says what, I'm glad, as I've said before, they didn't put me in, so they can't take me out.
Amen.
Amen. He's the one holding to my hand. Amen. God bless you. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1 this morning. Hebrews chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 1, familiar scripture. And we've been on a line of some questions and answers, and there's several questions that have come in. And there was a question that came in around this scripture, and I did a little study on it, and I felt led to kind of go a little bit of a different direction than just simply answering the question. But I do want to deal with the topic that the question was in relation to, and want to look at this thought this morning of New Testament prophets. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Let's just bow our heads together this morning, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach this topic this morning, Lord, and just ask that you'd be with us, Lord. May you just lead and guide, feeling your presence here already, Lord, knowing that it brings encouragement, that it brings strength, that it brings victory, it brings healing. Lord, I believe that it's more than just going to church as a tradition or saying that we went on Sunday or whatever it would be, Father. But Lord, we don't do this out of habit. We don't do it out of ritual. But Lord, we come together because we have a desire in our heart to worship you and to come together and assemble ourselves together, as your word said, and even the more as we see the day approaching, Father. Lord, I thank you for a group of people that's still willing to come out, Lord, to service, Lord, not just to be seen or to be heard, but to feel your presence and to worship you, to glorify you, Father. Lord, you said if you be lifted up, you draw all men unto you, Lord. So I don't want to lift myself up or any other man but the man Christ Jesus, Lord. We want to lift you up before all men that the world could see, Lord, that you're still changing lives, that you're still, Lord, you're still coming on the scene, healing the sick, raising the dead, calling out of darkness and changing lives from drug addicts and alcoholics and prostitutes to lives that are changed to live a pure and holy life to serve you, Father. Lord, there's no rehab. There's nothing that can totally take those things away. Even Alcoholics Anonymous says once an addict, always an addict, but they just don't know my God.
Right.
Amen. I'm thankful for a God that doesn't just patch up and slap a Band-Aid on something, but Lord, when you do something, you do all things well, and you're able to come and change situations, change homes, change lives. Father, may you just do it again this morning for any that have a need. Father, we'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Now, there's many that have looked at this scripture, and they've tried to put this off in the past, and we want to try to find a balance on this morning. I want to look at the scripture again, then look at a similar scripture that's also looked at many times. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, as we just read, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, that's in many times and many ways, he spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So the thought that many take is, well, he spoke in times past through the prophets, but now he's not using prophets anymore. He's speaking to us directly through his Son. Jesus kind of makes it look like this again in Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. That was Paul speaking. He said, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So if all the law and the prophets prophesied until John, people say, well, we don't need, have any need of prophets anymore after John. Well, this verse here, this word unto, it doesn't mean just unto. It means till, until, to. And this word Jesus is saying here, if we take it in this light, and if we take Paul's words in Corinthians there, or in Hebrews rather, where he said God in sundry times in like divers manners spake unto the prophets, but in these last days hath spoken by his Son, many are taking that and they're adding a little something to it. They're taking for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and they're adding a little something to it. Now, these scriptures aren't incorrect, but we have to make these scriptures line up with many other scriptures. We can't make Paul contradict himself, or what type of word do we have? We can't make Jesus contradict himself. So if all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, many say, well, that means that there's no more prophets after John. There's one problem with that. Jesus didn't say that. That's adding a little something extra and assuming. That's like me saying, you know, in times past, I used to drink soda, but for the last 6 months, I've drank only water and lemonade. And you take the assumption that that means I'm never going to drink a soda again. That would be an incorrect assumption. But by the context, we assume something that doesn't quite match up the rest of the word. Now, if God in past times spake unto the prophets, but they prophesied until John, that's absolutely right. All of the prophets, as we looked at the interpretation of this word, the Greek word there also means unto, they all prophesied unto John. All the prophets down through the ages, they were looking for something to come. John didn't just stand there and prophesy that there's going to be a Messiah, that there's going to be a virgin birth, that there's going to going to be all these things. They were all prophesying until John, but now John doesn't have to prophesy and say, well, just lo, there's going to be one coming. Although he did do that, he was a prophet and he did prophesy. He did say that there would be one coming, that he was going to baptize him with water, but the one coming would baptize him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. But yet he didn't just prophesy and say, this is something off in the future like Isaiah did and David did and different ones, but he actually introduced the people to a living, physical, breathing Messiah. He introduced the Messiah. All the prophets of the Old Testament had pointed towards Calvary, and now John introduces them to the man who is the Messiah, who's going to take this. Now, any true New Testament prophet isn't going to just point people to himself. He's not just going to point people to a doctrine. He's not going to just point people to something way off in the future, but any true New Testament prophet or preacher or teacher or anything else is going to point people back to Calvary. So there's still, any true prophet is still prophesying unto what John did. He introduced the Messiah. They're still prophesying to that. Now, Jesus said, now if all the, we'll look at this again, Matthew 11:13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Now, Jesus means that now the law and the prophets are going to be done away with because John has come and because the Messiah is here and Messiah is going to deal directly with the people. Then he contradicted himself in St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, when he said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law. Those were even the little hyphenation marks of in the language of the Jewish language. Not one even punctuation would pass away, no wise pass away from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom. I thought he was coming to do away with the law and that there wasn't going to be any prophets anymore. Why would he get up and say this then if it would contradict himself? He didn't contradict himself. Amen. Jesus, God, first of all, doesn't change. Jesus didn't come to change the law. He didn't come to do away with the law, but what he does change, what God does change, is his dispensations. He doesn't change his word. He doesn't change his way of doing things, but he changes his dispensation, and he was changing from the dispensation of law to the dispensation of grace. That didn't abolish the law. In fact, it magnified the law. St. Matthew chapter 5:27, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said by them of the old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. He's pointing back to the dispensation of the law. But here he is, grace, the atonement for us. And he says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, under the law, they never had this strict of instruction. It was a physical act is what they were judged by. They could actually be taken out and stoned by. But Moses never said anything about lusting in your heart. But here comes grace, and it doesn't abolish the law and say, well, you know, the Ten Commandments, we'll just throw them away because it's grace, grace, grace now. But it actually comes and magnifies the law. You say, well, how can that be grace? Because it provided an atonement for us. Amen. There was none of us that could go and not break one of the commandments. There hasn't been a person that's lived that hasn't either lied or done something, but yet grace provided an atonement. It didn't throw those things away and said, well, grace is here, so you just go and you kill and you steal and you lie and you cheat and you commit adultery and you covet and you do all these things now. It actually magnified the law, but what it did was said, I know you're not able to do these things on your own, so I'm going to provide an atonement to place grace over top of you, a grace dispensation that didn't abolish the law, but it magnified it. We're responsible for more than the Pharisees were back then, because we have more knowledge than they did. Even just a few years later, in the days of Paul, when he began to come and to reveal the word to him, that generation, there was more accountable to them than those in the days of John. What was it? A dispensation change had taken place, a turning of the corner. It didn't do away with the law, but it provided grace. It provided an atonement for the law. Now here, John could stand and baptize them unto repentance, but then Paul comes and he says, hey, that's not enough. And they could say, hey, this is the guy that baptized Jesus. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. But he could tell them, but there's been a dispensation change. There's been a turning of a corner. It didn't change the word. It didn't change the law. It magnified the law. And now these people in Paul's day were held more accountable than what the people in John's day had been, because they had more knowledge of the word. Knowledge of the word is a great thing, but it also places a great responsibility on us once we come to the knowledge of the word. They could stand there. It wasn't good enough for them just to be baptized unto John. But now, because of this dispensation change, they had to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know denominations had that confused, and they went with titles, because Jesus said in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that they'd be baptized. But Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost isn't a name. They're titles. And the name that there's only one name under heaven by which men shall be saved, St. Paul said. And that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person you go to the book of Acts and see how they were baptized. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John in his day wasn't held accountable for this word because it hadn't been magnified yet. They were baptizing unto repentance, but the sacrifice hadn't been slain and Christ hadn't been risen from the dead yet. So they weren't responsible for that back in John's days. But now more light has been shown on the word. It didn't change the word. It didn't do away with the previous word, but more light was shown on the word. And now they were responsible for more than what had been in ages gone by. Why would Jesus say that all the law and the prophets were until John if he meant that the prophets were going to be gone, done away with, and then turn around and say, Elias truly shall come and restore all things? Pointing forward to a prophet. Elijah had always been a prophet, always the spirit of a prophet. Even in the days of John, even though he didn't do miracles, yet it was a prophetic gift, because he came and he prophesied of the one that was coming, and he also prophesied of what he would do. But he did more than that. That's why Jesus said that he was greater than those Old Testament prophets, because he didn't just prophesy of something coming. He introduced them to what came. Malachi chapter 4. Why would Malachi say, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day, if the prophets were going to only be until John? John didn't introduce that coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. We didn't walk out on the ashes. There wasn't a great and dreadful day like he was speaking of. Why, if the prophets were going to be done away with completely, would they say in Revelation, when the angel came and begins to show John different things, and he shows him about the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11, when they come back to the Jews, why would he say that they were two prophets after Jesus? Now, I'm going to show you a lot of different scriptures in the New Testament. I'll show you the meaning of this word prophet. Every scripture that I'll refer to uses the same Greek word prophet. Once we get to it here, I'll show you the meaning of this word. But I want to look at this principle first. We have to have an absolute, and we have to have a standard. If not, then we get like a lot of people around the message have got in this age, sadly. And what it does is it produces a double standard. And I hate double standards. A double standard is where everybody else has got to do this except for me and my family, or me and my church, or me and my group. And they put a yoke on everybody else, but then when it comes to them and their family or whatever, they have a different rule. And many times when we look at the scriptures or the quotes or whatever it would be, if you're not careful, you wind up having a double standard. I've heard some brothers say, well, I'll just stay with the seals and what the seals say, until you find a quote in the seals that they don't like, and then they'll find a quote somebody somewhere else and have a double standard. I'll just take what this says, until you find a scripture that proves them wrong, and then they'll have another standard. Well, I'll take what that says plus this interpretation over here. I hate double standards. That's why when I'm dealing with the situation at church, I've told some of the people, I try to remember how I would deal with it if it was one of my children, because one day it may be. They may be in that same situation. I don't want to be one of these preachers that gets up and deals with everybody in one way and deals with his family in another way. We've seen too much of that around the message. There's this principle that we have to apply when we're looking at something in the Word. And there's sadly a lot of people around the message have got away from this principle. But it's in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. God speaking through Malachi, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. His ways are unchangeable. His word is unchangeable. His eternal thoughts are unchangeable, but yet he did change dispensations, but that didn't change the way that he was going about to do something. For instance, Jesus stood there and he told the disciples, he said, "Go not to the way of the Samaritans or in the cities of the Gentiles, but take this only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then Paul could take this to the Gentiles. He could take it. Philip took it to the Samaritans and different ones. And there could have been people standing there saying, "Bless God, I'm not going to him," because I was standing right there and I heard him say, "Don't go to the house of the Gentiles," or "Don't go into the cities of Samaria." But there had been a dispensation change. It didn't change the word. It just showed more light on the word. He was telling them, "It's not the time for me to be revealed to the Gentiles and the Samaritans." But there came a time where he told them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Didn't change the word, just magnified the word, just showed more light on it. "I am the Lord, I change not." That means that whatever he did in the beginning, he's got to do in continuity all the way down through. And I know people around the message don't like this, but I'm going to say it. That means if going to church was right in the book of Acts, then going to church is right in this age. And that means if there was preachers, teachers, evangelists, prophets, pastors, and on missionaries in the days of the book of Acts, then that means that God's got to have them in this age, or he came up with a better way of doing it and changed his way of thinking. That means if there was healings, if there was deliverance, if there was victory, if there was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if the dead was raised in the book of Acts, then if God doesn't produce the same thing in this age, then he changed his line of thinking somewhere. Amen. He said, "I'm the Lord, I change not." He said again, Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." So he's not going to come and speak through all the Old Testament through prophets and priests and kings and teachers and poets and then get to Paul's age and say, "You know what? Jesus has come now, so we don't need any of this other over here anymore, because Jesus is just going to deal with individuals." Jesus does deal with individuals. But most of the time, he deals with individuals through another individual. Amen. You say, "But he said, God, and whose son times and divers manners spake to the prophets, hath in this last day spoken through his son." That's absolutely right, and he's still speaking through his son. Amen. In fact, we'll get to it in a little bit, but if I'm really truly anointed this morning, you're hearing him speak to you right now. Right. If I'm not, then it's not. It's some other spirit speaking to you. But if I'm truly anointed this morning, you're still hearing him speak. When Brother Branham got up under the anointing and he would call people out in the prayer lines and things like that, you think that was a seventh grade educated Kentuckian speaking when he would tell things that he didn't know about? And he'd stand there and say, "I don't know anything about you." And then he'd turn around and say, I was looking to see what that doctor was writing on your chart. And he said, "I see your doctor, he's got horn-rimmed glasses, and this is what he wrote on that chart. But thus saith the Lord, you don't have it anymore." And then walk away healed. That was more than a man. That didn't make the man Jesus, but that made Jesus being the man. Right. Many people got it confused and they made the man Jesus, but it wasn't. Paul wasn't Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Brother Branham wasn't Jesus. But any truly anointed man of God, it's God working through the man. It's still God speaking today, even in this age. If he spoke in Paul's age, if he spoke in Luther and Wesley's age, it's still God speaking. He's still speaking through his son. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Philip ran thither to him. I want you to take note that this man left an entire revival of thousands of people, and he went to preach to one man. Sadly, there's not a lot of preachers that would do that. "And ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest?" Now, he doesn't say, "Now you just pray and take your time, because Jesus has come now. And Jesus is just going to tell you what Isaiah meant." Nor does he say, "I can't explain to you what Isaiah meant. I can just read you what he said." Quiet in here already this morning. "And he said, how can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, we have to be careful with this scripture, because if you're not careful, you'll get a preacher that gets up and tells you that you have to hear him to understand what Paul said or what Brother Branham said or what anybody else said, and you'll have to go through them. Well, that's not necessarily the truth. There's no individual man that we have to hear to explain it to us, but yet there are things that men of God can take, that maybe a scripture over here and a scripture over there, or a quote over here and a quote over there, that maybe you've got a question on, and they can bring those things together and show it to you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you think, I would have never caught that unless there was some man to guide me. Amen. I heard a brother say the other day, he read a quote, and Brother Bram said that, you know, he said, if you turn to Revelations 19, verse 4, he said, you can read about that. So the brother turned to Revelations 19, verse 4, and he read the scripture, but the brother didn't realize Brother Branham quoted the scripture wrong. It was actually Revelations 18, verse 4. Now, I know people get scared and their toes drop in their shoes when you begin to say that, but you go look at what he was quoting, and you go look at it, and it's not in Revelations 19, 4. It's Revelations 18, 4, and that doesn't make him a liar or a false prophet. That makes him a man just like you or me or Paul or any other man that ever stepped in shoe leather, except the Lord Jesus Christ. I do those things all the time. I hope you don't think that I'm some false something because I forget where a text is or a reference. But the person just said a week before that we didn't need no man to tell us what he said. So how could he explain to the people that it was actually Revelations 18:4? So he had to go and read Revelations 19:4. How can I accept some man should guide me? They say, don't tell me what he meant, just tell me what he said, until you tell them something that they don't like that he said, and then they want to tell you what he meant. Until you read them some quotes about preachers or going to church or things like that, and then they want to tell you, well, we just believe this. Well, I don't care what you believe. There's atheists that believe that God never even existed. I don't care what they believe. I care what the Word says. Amen. I'll take what the Word says. If I'm going to take somebody's opinion, I respect my opinion great higher than anybody else's, but I don't want to just go off of my opinion. I want to go off of what the Word says. Amen. The Word is the truth. The Word is our foundation. Without a foundation, then we're just tossed about to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And when somebody comes and we have respect in somebody and they say something, we just gobble it down. You better be careful that you're grounded on the Word. Let me just go ahead and say this morning. You better be careful what you're letting your children be exposed to, because there's a lot of teaching that's going around that's absolutely contrary to the Word that we've been taught, and little whispers being whispered in the children's ears that are trying to pull them away. You better be careful what you let them be exposed to if it's contrary to the Word of God. Not contrary to Brother Nathan's word, not contrary to Brother Hoover or Brother Layton or whoever. You better make sure it's not contrary to the Word of God. Amen. And if it is, you better be careful who's taking your kids and doing things with them. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God hath set, not the church presbyter, not the superintendent, not the denomination, not somebody's mommy or daddy. God hath set some in the church. You say, you sound mad this morning, Brother Nathan. I am. I'm mad at the devil. I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm sure mad at the devil. And God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Now, you mean the same man that just told us that God in sundry times and in diverse manners spake to the prophets, but in this last days has spoke through his son? If he meant that the prophets was to be done away with, why on earth would he say that God in sundry times and in divers manners did this, and then now he's going to set in the church these same prophets, teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities, and tongues? Questions and Answers, 1954. He said, you say, well, glory to God, the Bible said when the Holy Ghost has come, you don't need any teacher. He's the teacher himself. Oh, brother, how can you be so little from reading the script? Why did the Holy Ghost set teachers in the church then? Say, I don't have to have anybody teach me. The Holy Ghost teaches me. It does through a teacher. Amen. He set teachers in the church. Now, I don't care what anybody says, what their shoe size is, or how big their bank account, or what their last name is. If it's contrary to this, I'm going to take what this said. I'm going to stay with what this said because it goes right along with what St. Paul said and what the Lord Jesus taught us. And I'm going to stay with the word, regardless of popularity, regardless of opinion, regardless of how many come or go or how many are against us. I'm going to stay with what the word said. And if he said that he teaches through teachers and God doesn't change his way, then even though this was back in 1954, he's still got to teach through teachers today. Oh, you're going to get in trouble, Brother Nathan. I know. But I'd rather stay with the truth and get in trouble than just go along to be popular. Questions and Answers, 1954. See, you must come under teaching. That's the problem with a lot of even preachers around this message, is they never set under real, solid gospel teaching. All they may have occasionally dropped into a church here or there and maybe never had a home church because they thought they had their own ministry, and they would bounce around from here to there to there, and you'd see them come through and all these different things. But then you see their ministry and it flops back and forth and here and there and everywhere. What is it? They didn't come under teaching. You must come under teaching. You say, I don't need no one to teach me after the Holy Ghost has come. My friend, that gives me just a little room to doubt whether you've really got it or not. Then see, the way you're acting with it, see the thing you're doing. Now, oh my, it gives me just a little room to doubt whether you got it or not if you say the Holy Spirit has come, but I don't need no teaching. He said, if the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the teacher, why did the Holy Spirit put teachers in the church then? To set the church in order, the same Holy Spirit. Sure, we don't need seminaries to go around, a big bunch of men to look out these things. The Holy Spirit is a teacher, see? It's a teacher, and it gives some fellow a gift of teaching, then you must be subject to that gift. Now, there's a lot of pastors that have run wild with this, and they say, see, you must be subject to me. He didn't say you have to be subject to me. He said you have to be subject to the gift. Not subject to a man, subject to the gift in the man's life. That's how we get into a lot of legalism. Oh, everybody's got to be subject to me, and everybody's under my thumb. No, the Bible never said that, and the message never taught that. But what it did teach was that God still uses men today. If God used prophets down through the ages and he changed his way and threw prophets in the garbage, then he changed his way of doing things. And if he used preachers and teachers and evangelists and pastors down through the whole New Testament, and then we got to this age and he said, you know what, I got a better idea, let's do it a different way, then he changed his way of doing things. Oh my, God does still speak. He's still speaking through his son. He still speaks through these gifts. And not only these gifts, the 9 spiritual gifts. You say, oh, I don't believe that stuff. That was done away with. We don't need no speaking in tongues and interpretation. Well, then you better look at what the rest of the 9 were. Then we must not need wisdom or knowledge or healing anyhow if that was done away with. The Holy Spirit still uses people. How did you hear about this? How are you sitting here this morning? How are you as far along as you are this morning? Why? Somebody told you about this. Somebody encouraged you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody, God used them to call you when you was down and discouraged and about ready to give up. Somebody called you and said, I don't know why, but you was on my heart and I'm praying for you. You think that was that brother doing that on his own? What was it? The Holy Spirit still using the body. And if you say we don't need the Holy Spirit to use people anymore because Jesus has come and he's just going to deal directly with me, then we don't need to have church. We don't need Sunday school. We don't need Sunday school teachers. We don't need preachers or anything. In fact, we don't even need the prophet because God's just going to speak direct to us. But there's one problem with that. God never did that through the entire Bible. The only person he spoke direct to as far as lip to ear was a prophet. Now, he speaks to me. In fact, he just spoke to me a few days ago. A sister had asked me a question along these lines, and he woke me up in the morning, and I didn't go and study, and I didn't go and pray and do a lot of work up and desperation, but he woke me up one morning, and he laid out every scripture almost that I'm using here this morning. How? He didn't speak to me with an audible voice, but he spoke to my heart. He still speaks that way, too. Don't get me wrong, he can still speak that way too. But usually when he's speaking to you that way, he's speaking to you so that you can go be a help to somebody else. Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just go speak to somebody himself? Because he still uses the body. Why didn't he go tell the eunuch himself, listen, eunuch, this is what Isaiah meant. let me tell you and explain it to you, because I've come now and I'm going to teach you. But he sent a man by the name of Philip that was going to teach him. How? It was still the Holy Spirit teaching through the man. Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, part 1, 1957. Oh, I know there's many rise up and go out and say, oh, I don't need to go to church anymore. Yeah, we had a few hundred of those around until just recently, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Praise God, the Holy Ghost has come. He's the teacher. When you get that idea, you're just wrong. For why did the Holy Ghost set teachers in the church? If he was going to be the teacher, see? There are first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. The Holy Spirit set in the church so he could teach through that teacher. So don't get upset at me. I didn't set this up. Don't get upset at Brother Branham or St. Paul. He didn't set this up. The Holy Spirit set this pattern up. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, I don't want to be offend you this morning by not being politically correct, but let me just say it so you understand it. God is not an Indian giver. And he's not going to give a gift and then take it back and say, well, I gave it to my bride in this age, but you know, this bride in this age, they don't need it. I'm going to take this gift back. God is not an Indian giver. And he gave, verse 11, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why do you see a bunch of these spiritual babies out here arguing and bickering and saying things contrary to the word? They haven't been perfected because they won't come under any type of ministry.
Amen.
Voice of the Sign, 1964. Now, as long as there's apostles, there's got to be a prophet. As long as there's a prophet, there's got to be an evangelist. Uh-oh. Why is it ministers say there's a pastor and evangelist, but there's no prophet? See, that's picking what you want to, making it say something it doesn't.
Amen.
They do the same thing today, just to the opposite. Door Inside the Door, 1958. Missionaries, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. How many knows that's true? Well, we have to have them all. Oh, surely he didn't say that. We have to have them all. Some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, some missionaries, and some prophets. I just believe what he said. Maybe that makes me ignorant and just simple, but I just take him at his word for what he said. Why? Because it doesn't contradict what St. Paul taught us, and I believe what he said. I believe what the word of God says. I believe that this is the infallible word of God. Amen. I don't see where it contradicts that, so I'm just going to stay with it. As they said on the day of Pentecost, this is that was spoke with the prophet Joel. Well, if this isn't that, I'll just keep this till that comes.
Amen.
Amen. But I believe that this is that. This word prophet that we keep using in the New Testament, it's a Greek word prophetus, which in Greek, this is the interpretation of this word, the meaning of it in the Greek lexicon. In Greek writings, an interpreter of oracles or of other hidden things. Now, this isn't an Old Testament word. This is the word as it's being used in the New Testament and all these New Testament instances that we're using of the word prophet. One who moved by the Spirit of God, and hence his organ or spokesman, solemnly declares to men what he has received by inspiration, especially concerning future events, and in particular such as relate to the cause and kingdom of God and to human salvation, of prophets that had appeared in the apostolic age. But I thought John and the prophets were just, or the prophets and the law were just until John. But you mean there was prophets in the apostolic age? You're making an assumption of what is meant instead of just reading what's said. Of prophets that appeared in the apostolic age among Christians, they are associated with apostles. They discerned and did what is best for the Christian cause, foretelling certain future events. Now let's look at a few of these, and we're running out of time, so I'll try to read these quickly. You just hang on with me, and if you don't have time to write them all down, I'll put the notes up on the sermon online later. Acts chapter 11, verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Now, anytime this word prophet is used, it's this Greek word that we just showed the explanation here. There stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. He's foretelling a future event before it took place. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now this is Saul and Barnabas they were to go into the ministry. We'll look at it here in the next verse. And Saul became Paul. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Somebody said, well, the Bible never says that Paul was a prophet. No, it said that Saul was. But his name was changed to Paul. Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas. His name was changed. They said, well, I've typed it in and typed it in. The Bible never said that Paul was a prophet. That's because you're typing it in without spiritual understanding. That's because you're typing it in and trying to figure it out intellectually instead of looking at what the Word of God said with a sincere heart. Acts chapter 15, verse 32, and Judas and Silas being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Acts chapter 21, 10, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he had come, when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle and shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I don't know about you, but my religion is not just built on opinion. It's not just built on idea, but it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. If your religion is not built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, if it's built on a denomination or some man's idea or your own opinion, then you have the wrong absolute. But if your doctrine is based on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, then what we believe we should be able to take right back to this book right here. Predestination, Godhead, water baptism, serpent seed, no eternal hell, all these things I can show you right here. But I couldn't before God sent a prophet. Why did he send a prophet in this age? Because that's how he deals. That's how he's always dealt. That's how he dealt all down through the ages. That's how he's dealt with the people. He sends a prophet, and then from that prophet go the ministry of others. That's what Brother Bam said in the church age book. Acts chapter 13, 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, this wasn't God changing his word. This was God changing dispensation, that he had dealt with the Jews down through the ages. But now, because the Jews had rejected the gospel, there was a dispensation change turning to the Gentiles. Why, Brother Nathan? So that the predestinated seeds could have a chance to be a part. Because God knew there'd be a David Hoover and a Jimmy Ard and an Arnie Bird and a Lee Pierce and on and on. And he knew that we had to have a chance for the light to be shown our way. So he turns a corner and has a dispensation change to the Gentiles. Now, if he's going to deal differently with the Gentiles than he did with the Jews, and he's not going to send them prophets and preachers and teachers and evangelists, then this man that turned and taught the Gentiles in Corinthians and Ephesians and all these places that we've been looking, that he was speaking to the Gentile church, he must have been very confused if God wasn't going to deal with the people that way in the Gentile dispensation. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace, of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Paul's saying he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You mean here after Jesus has already come and the prophets and the law and all these different things, you mean God is still using a man that he would write something to somebody and God would give them revelation through the writing of this man's words? Absolutely. Because God doesn't change his way of doing things. If he did it in that age, he has to do it in this age, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the individuals by the Lord Jesus. Oh, that's not what he said, is it? Unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Why wouldn't God just come down and just drop it all in my lap and just give it to me as an individual? Because that's not the way he works. He works through individuals. He works through people. He works through brothers. Not even always the same brother. Maybe one brother encouraged you along a certain way in your life, and God knew you needed to be right there at that place at that right time to get you where you needed to be. And then maybe another brother took you and began to encourage you along a little further, and another brother and another brother, and maybe a sister called and encouraged you, and maybe this one and that one, and different letters that people wrote you and emails and texts and things, and you begin to look into the Word of God, and it just began to unfold and unfold and unfold. What was it? God working through the body. Now, it doesn't matter how much the body can tell you. It doesn't matter how much that a man can get up and say something. First of all, it has to be the Holy Spirit that's speaking through the person for it to do you any good. And secondly, no matter how much the Holy Spirit is speaking through that person, unless the Holy Spirit is working in you to receive what's being said, then it's just going to fall flat. I can get up here and preach my heart out. And if you're not willing to receive or don't have the Holy Spirit to help you to receive, then it's just going to fall right over this pulpit and land right there and not do you a bit of good. That doesn't just go for me. Any minister, any tape, any scripture, anything that you want to look at, read, listen to, or study, if the Holy Spirit isn't there to quicken that to you, it's just going to fall right over the edge and drop. So that doesn't mean that we just do away and say, well, we don't need the Holy Spirit. The teacher's just going to teach us. The Holy Spirit does teach through the teacher. The Holy Spirit does preach through the preacher. The Holy Spirit does prophesy through the prophet and give us revelations and interpretations of the oracles of the Word. But if the Holy Spirit isn't on the other end to quicken it, you can sit there and look at it all you want. It's never going to be quickened. It takes the Holy Spirit working on both ends of the line. He's always done that. How could Jesus stand there and preach to multitudes and many of them walk away after they saw the healings, the miracles, the multiplication of fish and loaves and all these different things? How could they walk away and leave it after they had seen it? Because God wasn't working on both ends of the line there. Brother Bram said, it has to be an eagle to an eagle. Can't be an eagle to a buzzard or something else. So it's got to be the Holy Spirit working through the body and then the Holy Spirit receiving it as well. And I, John, saw these things, Revelations chapter 22, verse 8, and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Now, if it was just the Holy Spirit dealing with John, then why did he refuse worship and rebuke him? And why did he tell him, don't do it, I'm one of your fellow servants, the prophets? But it was a prophet standing there showing these things to John. And John gets so excited that he falls down at the feet of this angel to worship him. But the angel rebukes him. And I don't care how many people want to glorify the fact that he worshiped the angel. He got rebuked for it. Brother Branham called a rebuke for it. And he said, any true man of God or any true angel of God will refuse worship. Whatever he says to you, do it, 1953. Now, on the platform, when the Holy Spirit's speaking, and he's speaking through mortal lips, he always does. He always does what? Speak through mortal lips. I believe these are ministers behind me. And brethren, you never preached a sermon in your life. Go ahead and just buckle your seatbelts. You never preached a sermon in your life. Somebody asks you, say, oh, is that Brother Nathan? He's still preaching? Say, no, he's actually never preached a sermon in his life. What? I heard he was a preacher. I heard that he preached all the time over there. No, he doesn't preach. The Holy Spirit preaches through him, though. I heard he was letting that David Hoover preach. No, David Hoover never has preached a sermon in our church. I heard he let Bill Layton get up and preach. I heard he let Arnie Bird get up there. I heard he had some guest ministers come in. No, he never let one of them preach. But the Holy Spirit preached through him. Amen. And brethren, you never preached a sermon in your life. The Holy Spirit preached through you a sermon. See? That's right. See that? See? We don't preach. The Holy Spirit does the speaking. Oh, we might write out something and read it, but that isn't preaching. Let me just read that again. We might write something out and read it, but that isn't preaching. Preaching is when inspiration comes and see, and it's preached by inspiration, and the Holy Spirit gives the unction. Now, we can read something, and it just doesn't matter. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it, oh my. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it and takes it out to the people, then something takes hold, see? Why is it that some of you is a lot further along than you was when you came here? Is it because Nathan Bryant's some great something, or Bill Layton, or David Hoover? Absolutely not. It's because the unction of the Holy Spirit came, and when the unction began to come and the Holy Spirit began to speak, something began to take a hold, and you thought, oh my, I never saw that like he said it. I never saw that like that before, but I see it now. What was it? Was it a man? Absolutely not. Was it an idea and an opinion? It was the Holy Spirit getting a hold of it and taking it out to the people, and something took a hold, see? And that's the Holy Spirit. That's not your pastor preaching. That's the Holy Spirit preaching in your pastor out to you, giving the message. Now, I know many people just throw this quote away and put it in their shredder and say, oh, hide that one from the children. But he said it whether they like it or not. Whatever he says to you, do it. 1953. Pastor, preacher, teaching, apostles, prophets, and all of those things are gifts of God. That goes together for the perfecting of the church or the saints then. It's all one big unit of God. No matter whether we belong to this church or that church or that church, as long as we're born of the Spirit of God, we're sons and daughters of God. He said, isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be nice tonight if all Christians could see that? Wouldn't we have a revival? I can say amen to that. Wouldn't we have a revival around the message if everybody could see this, that it's one great big body working together, one great big unit, that there's people that some of these brothers over here can reach that I can't reach, and there's some people that I can reach that they can't reach, and it's the Holy Spirit working through the body, helping people here, there, and everywhere. If we could recognize that, oh, wouldn't we have one big great revival? But what happens? This one begins to say, well, I see it this way. So bless God, they're a bunch of serpent seed over there. And well, bless God, if they don't see it my way, we'll just write them off. Oh, I'm so glad there's nobody that can write me off. They might write me off of their buddy list, or they might unfriend me, or they may stop following me, or they may stop listening to me. But you know what? That doesn't matter very much. I have representation over there.
Amen.
Amen. As long as I've got representation over there, it doesn't matter. You know, I'd like it if everybody liked me, Brother Hoover. I really would. My personality is that I don't like people to say bad things about me and talk bad about me and run me down. And that's just not my personality. But if it's you know, compromise with what they think so they can pat me on the back and say, attaboy, you sure did a good job. Or if it's to stay with the Word of God, come what may, say what they want, kick me out, draw me out, do whatever they want, I'll stay with the Word of God. I hope you feel the same way this morning. Oh, God bless you. If the musicians would come, we believe in New Testament prophets. We believe in New Testament preachers and teachers and evangelists and pastors, missionaries. You say, oh, poor Brother Nathan. Poor Brother Nathan, he's so deceived. Well, maybe you should go back and look and see what he said again, find out who's deceived. God help us to take all that he said. If it takes the hide off of us, if it makes friends and family turn against us, whatever it is, I want to stay with what the Word of God says. It's not easy sometimes. It's not popular sometimes. But he didn't call me to a popularity contest, Brother Arnie. I told Brother David Andes the other day, I said, I think I'm going to title this new series we've been on Wednesday nights, How to Make Available Seats in the Church. Because I know some of the things I've been teaching are hard, and maybe you've never seen them that way. Maybe you don't understand, but I've showed you exactly where I'm getting it from. Amen. I've showed it to you in the quotes and the scriptures, and I haven't just tried to get up and say, you know, I think it's going to be this way, and I hope it's going to be that way, and I'd like for it to be this way, but I've tried to back it up with every scripture and quote that I know how. But I've got about 50 quotes or scriptures. I don't know how people can walk away and scratch their head and say, well, I think he's wrong. Well, it's not me that's wrong. I'm showing you what he said. I'm showing you what the Bible said. You're calling Paul wrong or Brother Branham or the Lord Jesus, but I want to take all that the Word said.
Amen.
I want to take all that the Word said. It's a deceiving age that we live in. people running to and fro. I don't like this scripture over here, so I'll just bypass it. And I don't like that quote over there, so I'll just do away with it. I'll take this one over here. And it's a very deceptive age that we live in. But if it just comes down to where it's just me standing up here, my wife and kids, like it was in the home, I want to be found standing with the Word. Uncompromising, unchanging. I want to stay with the Word the way that it was brought, the way that it was presented. We wouldn't really lose anybody if it went down to that. We'd still have the original group that we started with. Plus one, yeah, we had Ruth. But I'll take it further than that, and I pray it never happens. But even if they walked off and left me, I'd stay with the Word. I've seen some of you, some of the things you've gone through. It's been difficult. Friends turning their backs on you, family disagreeing with you, walking away from you because of where you attend church or what you believe. I know that's hard. I know what that's like. But I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. Amen. They say, oh, Brother Nathan, he gets all the rejects. That's all right. That's the ones that Jesus got. That's the ones that Brother Branham preached to. I'll be identified with that group. I'm one of them. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised view. I started in with Jesus. I'm going through. Amen. I don't know about you. It's not getting any better around the message, I hate to say. And it's not the message that's done it. It's the people around the message that's done it. People look and they say, oh my, there's so much fanaticism. There's so much this and there's so much that, so much false. That doesn't change the Word. That just means that there's a lot of fanatics following the Word. In fact, I've seen more fanatics around this thing and, you know, half insane people than I've seen around about any movement. But that's all right. That just shows, because Satan always wants to put the best scarecrows around the best food. In the days of Luther, Brother Branham said it wasn't that he could hold his head above that he could protest the Catholic Church and get away with it. That was amazing. It was that he could hold his head above all the fanaticism that surrounded it. Amen. So I don't let a little bit of fanaticism around the message discourage me. I feel sorry for those people that are that way and the people that get dragged off into some of it. But that doesn't change what the message said. There's a lot of fanatics. Hey, there was people that took this book right here, and they didn't have it quite in book form yet, but they had the scrolls, they had the teachings of Paul's, and they had all those different things, and those people with it written in Latin, they took it, and they marched out, and they slaughtered millions and said, you got to do it our way, or you're dead. That didn't change this Word. That didn't corrupt the Word just because there was a lot of fanatics going around killing people because they didn't agree with them. The Word was still true. The sad thing was that a lot of fanatics had got a hold of it and was going out in the dark ages and killing people if they didn't agree with them. There's a lot of that around today. Oh, maybe not picking up a physical sword or a machine gun, but Brother Branham said there's more than one way to kill a man. You can stab him in the back. There's still a lot of that goes around today. But I started in with Jesus, and I'm going through. Amen. God bless you this morning. You love Him?
Amen.
Amen. You love His Word?
Amen.
I hate to tell you, but it's going to get a lot worse, I think, before it gets better. But I'm not dependent on circumstances. I'm not dependent on politics or the economy. I'm dependent on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let's try this together this morning. Amen. I believe this is I'm not sure the number of it, but let's just sing it anyhow. Oh, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruling over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Trusting, confiding in His great love. Well, it's from a heart set in His sheltering arms. Oh, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow, clouds arise.
obscuring the brightness of light. Oh, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. My master looks on at the strife. So I'm living by faith in my Jesus above. Oh, I keep trusting, confiding in His great love. Well, it's rubble or safe in His sheltering arms. Oh, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, when my Jesus walks close to my side? So I'm living by faith. Let's stand and worship Him. Troubles will then all be old. Oh, my master, so gently, He'll lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Oh, we're living by faith in our Jesus above. We keep trusting, confiding in His great love. Well, it's from our hearts safe in His sheltering arms. Oh, I'm living by faith, and I feel alone. Amen. Let's just bow our heads as they play that softly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, our prayer this morning is that You just help us to keep living by faith, regardless of the storms, no matter what evil betide, Father. Lord, may we just stay with Your word, stay walking in line with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, as You lead us and guide us into more and more truth, Father. Lord, we're thankful that we recognize, Lord, that You still prophesy, You still teach, You still preach, You still go and spread the word. You do it through the body, Father. We're thankful to recognize the working of the Holy Spirit in men, Lord, that it's still the Holy Spirit speaking. It's still You moving, Lord. You're still speaking in this age. Oh, Lord, help us to recognize Your still small voice in whatever form it comes in. Lord, if You were to speak to us in our heart, Lord, help us just to make sure that that voice isn't contrary to Your word, because You'll never speak anything to us that's contrary to the word. Lord, if we hear another voice, Lord, whether the voice of a man or whatever it would be, Father, Lord, a voice of a teacher or a preacher, a voice of someone trying to encourage us, Lord, help us, Lord, just to listen. Make sure that that voice isn't contrary to what Your word already taught us, Father, because Your Holy Spirit will never teach us something contrary to what Your word already told us. Lord, You keep shining more light and more light on what's already been said. Lord, we keep growing, Father, in Your grace. We're living by faith this morning, Father, but Lord, we never find it contrary to something that You already taught us. But Lord, You just keep shining more light on what's been said, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, to stand for the truth with everything that's within us. Lord, in the face of opposition, in the face of persecution, whatever it would be, Father, Lord, to be made fun of, Lord, You said in Your word, blessed are they that are despitefully used and persecuted when they say evil things against You for My sake. Oh, help us, Father, to recognize in the face of it all, we're so blessed that You would call us and set us aside, Father, that You would speak to us, Lord, in this dark age. Lord, how blessed we truly are. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, Lord, we're blessed just to have You walking by our side, Father.
Lord, I'd rather be out on a boat tossed at sea, Lord, and sinking up and down and know that you're in the boat with me, Father, than to be on solid ground by myself, Father. I'd rather be in the darkest jungles or out in the wilderness somewhere trying to preach the gospel, Lord, than to be in my own living room and know that you weren't with me, Father. Lord, as long as you're with us, Lord, you'll take us the rest of the way. You'll lead us. You'll guide us, Lord. You'll use others, Lord, to be an encouragement to us, to strengthen us. Lord, to continue to shine light, Lord, maybe on things that we haven't seen, Lord, that was laying right there all along. Lord, help us, Lord, to grow in your grace and to grow in your word and grow in strength. And Lord, help us, Lord, because we feel like, Lord, that you're showing us your word. Help us not to look at others and say, well, they're just lost because they don't see it our way. But Lord, help us to extend the arm of grace to them and their condition, Lord. Lord, you thought enough of us to extend grace to us when we were so unworthy, Father, but yet you stooped down and you reached down your hand and picked us up. Lord, help us not to forget where you brought us from, Lord, but help us to always have a hand out to help somebody else and encourage them, Father. Lord, we believe that you're still using men and women, Father, to be a help to others, Lord. I thank you for these godly mothers this morning that are represented here, Lord, that are raising their children, Lord, to learn about you and to know about you, Father. Oh, Lord, how blessed these children are to have mothers like that in a dark and evil age that we're living in. Oh, what a blessing that it is, Father. Help us never to take it for granted. Lord, the tears and the prayers and the work, Lord, that these mothers have put in, the efforts that they put in, Lord, and the raising of their children and the working of the home and the blessing that they are to their husbands, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, may it not go unseen, but may you give them a blessing this morning, Lord. Lord, help us never to let it go unrecognized, Father. But Lord, may every day be a Mother's Day, Lord. We just ask you to be with us, Lord. Bless us. Lord, protect us. Bring us back at the appointed time, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name.
Oh, we're living by faith in Jesus' love.
This morning, and I pray that it blesses you.
Oh, sometimes, hallelujah. Oh, sometimes, praise the Lord. Sometimes, gently singing our hearts in one. Sometimes, hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Sometimes, hallelujah. gently singing, our hearts in one accord.
Once more.
Oh, sometimes hallelujah. Oh, sometimes praise the Lord. Sometimes gently.
Bless you, saints. Let's sing that as we go.
Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock.